everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob engineering and producing the show. He does such a great job for us here. Bob, thank you very much. He's on the other side of the glass, but if he was on this side of the glass, I'd say the same thing. And together we welcome you to the program. It's Friday, May 3rd, 2019, Cinco de Mayo weekend, also my wedding anniversary weekend. So it's very easy for me to remember my wedding anniversary because we were married on Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. We did not have, we did not do like have the mariachis and everything like that, but still, it was certainly easy to remember that. So that's coming up on Sunday. We're live here during the noon hour, 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, Friday, I like to do a big shout out to all of them, including Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com, Dan Shear, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, big supporters of ours, Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly. Jim Ninsel will be joining us at about 12:30 today. Jim's the editor of the Weekly. They also have the Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, Farhad Mogimi is with us, Executive Director and CEO of the Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG, and the Regional Transportation Authority, known as the RTA. The RTA's $2.1 billion 20-year road improvement plan and excise tax, which funds the plan, was approved by Pima County voters on May 16th, 2006. So we're at the 12-year point this month, Farhad. Good to see you, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on, and happy anniversary to you.
Thank you very much. Excited about that. On the live line with Sarah Garrett Gasson. Sarah is the editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Farhad. Thanks for having me.
And I do feel for you. You know I'm a migraine sufferer, and I actually had a headache last night. It's Sarah, as you well know, everything is in bloom right now. So
absolutely,
that is definitely triggering the headaches. So I'm glad you didn't have to get behind the wheel of the car.
I appreciate you. You let me do this by phone.
There you go.
Let's
begin, Farhad. Where are we? Give me the big picture here. 12 years in, 8 to go. Kind of the big, what's been done and what still needs to be done?
As you mentioned, the RTA was passed in 2006. At the time, the plan that went to the voters had a very specific outline of the projects that were promised. We had specifically 35 different corridor projects listed. We had over 200 bus pullouts, over 80 pedestrian crossings, over 200 intersection improvements, 250 miles of sidewalk improvements, and 500 miles of bike lane improvements with a variety of other safety category projects and environmental enhancement projects, as well as transit improvements. So I'm happy to report that we're on target with the remaining 8 years in the plan. We've been able to accomplish most of those categorical projects and most of the smaller projects to a tune of over 840 projects have been completed to date. We've been able to invest over $1 billion of RTA funds within the community, and we're on target to finish all those projects prior to 2026, and that's when the plan and the revenue expires.
Can you hit on some of the big projects that have been completed?
Of course. The most recent one, and actually tomorrow we're going to celebrate the opening of the INA I-10 traffic interchange. That was a partnership with Arizona Department of Transportation, Town of Marana, and that project is completed. INA traffic interchange is open to the traffic, and tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we're going to celebrate that with the community, especially the business community. It was obviously difficult for the last almost 2 years during construction. They've been able to weather the storm, and there's a great opportunity for them this weekend to celebrate and make sure that we get people back into the area.
The big projects that still need to be done are?
Most of the projects were implemented in phases.
Okay.
So, for example, Grant Road was broken up into several phases. So we have two phases of Grant Road already completed. The third phase is under design, and then the fourth phase will go into design shortly and construction. So Grant is one of those larger projects that was roughly $180 million that was broken up in phases. Downtown Lynx is another project that was broken up into phases. The first phase was completed. The second phase is currently under review by a contractor, and we hope to have that under construction soon. Broadway is another large one that is going out to bid shortly, and that'll be completed hopefully within the next 2 years. Again, Halton Road, another large project that was broken up into several phases. That one is substantially complete with two remaining phases. And then Tangerine Road is another large one that was broken up into phases. The first phase that's completed was mostly from Dove Mountain going east. The second phase would be from Dove Mountain going to I-10, and that one is remaining to be completed. So there are multiple projects like that on the list, and we definitely are on schedule and happy to report again that most of those projects were all completed under budget as well.
All right. Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Star, join in.
I'm wondering, with all the projects that are constantly going on, is road work ever done? Is it ever something that is completed where, I understand in the sense that, you know, there's different projects in different parts of the city, but I'm wondering how that kind of constant being under construction in different parts of the city kind of affects how people view road construction and road repair and transportation improvements.
So just to put it in context, I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and we only had the construction season and we had the winter. So we had a nice break back there. But here, we're fortunate that construction can go on pretty much 12 months out of the year. Unfortunately, and this is something that hopefully the average person would understand, that our community has grown quite a bit over the last 20 plus years. And I believe one of the reasons the RTA was established was to make sure that as a community, we're able to bring our transportation system to a point that we're able to have an efficient and a safe transportation network. Again, before the RTA, if you recall back in the 90s, different segments of the town, especially northwest and east side of town, the growth was so much that the congestion was getting to the point that really something had to be done. So to answer your question, and you know, I'll try to be as brief as possible, is that we believe the public understands the need for those projects, and Ina Road was a great example that the business community truly understood the need for it, and they were willing to partner with us. But yes, there is definitely a impact to traveling public during construction, but we hope that they see the value of the improvements after the fact and enjoy it.
Sarah, did you have a follow-up?
I was wondering, when you talk to neighbors, how do you let people know that this is going to happen and that people will be inconvenienced, but it just seems like kind of every time you just get used to it, like, oh, I have to go this way, you know, the construction changes and you have to go a different way. But as you said, I'm sure people are aware of that. What are the various ways you use to get that message out to people so they know that you could go this way last week, but not this week? How do you do that?
Sure. So the communication channels obviously have improved quite a bit over the years, as you all know, obviously through social media, through the traditional methods of communication, radio, TV, and more closely, depending on the immediate changes that are happening. Typically, we have what we call TransView. TransView, if you go to pagregion.com, we actually have a tool that is an interactive tool that shows where the construction is happening and the, you know, the impact of that construction to congestion. You can see that. So we're utilizing any and all tools possible to get the information out. Typically, most of the larger projects, the public has been involved all along, and they hopefully understand when the construction starts. But it's an ongoing effort, and we appreciate the partnership with the media partners that are obviously informing the public on a regular basis and getting the information out as well.
I had a question from a Facebook listener, Farhad. How legally does a nonprofit like the Pima Association of Governments get to control taxpayer collected monies? How does that distribution process work, Farhad?
So the RTA enabling legislation at the time was really looking at what is the best and most efficient way to govern the revenues that are coming through the Regional Transportation Authority. PAG, as a regional council of governments, represents all of the members, all the cities, towns, under tribal governments, and the county within Pima County. So the legislation at the time delegated the regional council and PAG as the Pima Association of Governments as the agency responsible for implementing the RTA plan and the revenue that comes in. So through a memo of understanding between PAG and RTA, and the authority that was within the state law, PAG is managing the RTA projects and the revenue.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Farhad Mogimi is with us and Sarah Garrett-Gasson on the live line. Sarah from the Arizona Daily Star, where she is the editorial page editor and columnist. Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town. Farhad, I know you spent time in Wisconsin, correct?
Yes, I grew up there.
Well, then you know that, about a Danish Kringle.
Of course, yes.
Well, Mona's Danish Bakery is home to the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located in the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and now serving a hot breakfast every morning. They're open at 6:30. They've got the new grill in, and it's great. You can now have the hot breakfast, and they serve that open all day for lunch and breakfast. So they're open right now for lunch, and if you want to do breakfast now, that's great too. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com is their website, and there's also a link at buckmastershow.com to all of our great partners of the Buckmaster Show. It's 10:30, the voice trusted local news and talk, 12:17. We'll take our break right here. We'll be back to talk some more about transportation right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial, a place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview today with Farhad Moghimi. And Farhad is the CEO and the general manager for not only the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority, but he is also the head of the Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG. And one of the responsibilities is air quality. And I want to talk briefly with him about that. We have on our live line Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star. Overall, Farhad, is the air quality situation pretty good this year?
Yes, we are fortunate that our air quality is much better than our neighbors to the north. And
thank goodness.
So the quality we're really happy with. As you know, there's times that you know, potentially there is a weather, whether it's wind or whether it's some other cause of our air quality not being in conformance with some standards. And that's usually what we deal with. We usually deal with national standards that we measure how our air quality is performing. And recently, as far back as 2015, the Environmental Protection Agency changed the standards for ozone. And that is on our radar these days. We're targeting our ozone levels to make sure that it's below the standards. When the standards were changed, they actually lowered the amount of ozone that we need to monitor and make sure that we comply with. So that's really the only issue we're addressing these days. And we hope that there's obviously ways to improve that.
Sarah, I know you want to get back to transportation. Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star on the live line. Go ahead, Sarah.
So what are the options for continuing the work of the RTA? Do voters have to come up with votes for another plan? What's next?
Yes. So the legislative authority that RTA has requires a vote to extend the revenue, which is the half-cent sales tax, and a vote to approve a plan to spend that revenue on. So beyond 2026, if we don't go back to the voters for extension of the revenue and a new plan, then essentially the plan expires and the revenue expires as well. So that is exactly what we're planning on doing. The RTA board formed a citizens committee to start working on developing a new plan so we'll be able to go back to the public prior to 2026.
What might be in that plan, Farhad?
It's too early to tell at this point. The Citizens Committee is really working on developing a list of priorities, if you will, or some principles that they want to apply in developing the plan. And they hope to be able to go out to the public and get input from the public to make sure that they have the pulse of the community and we understand truly what are those priorities, what when we talked about system efficiency and we talk about safety and we talk about mobility and accessibility, what does that mean and how do you take all that feedback and input from the public and bring it back and put it in a plan that is going to be financially constrained? There's only so much revenue that the half-cent sales tax will generate. So how do you come up with a plan that obviously matches the amount of revenue that's going to be available to them? So it's going to be an ongoing process. I'm estimating at a minimum a year and a half, 2 years to go through the process and be able to have a draft that they can again take back to the public and get public input on it as well.
I think people are confused, and I think, Sarah, you would probably echo what I'm going to say about this whole confusion about potholes, fixing potholes, fixing streets, and what you, Farhad, and the Regional Transportation Authority are charged with doing. Potholes are not part of the 20-year plan.
That is correct.
So fixing potholes is not part of it.
So that is correct.
Yes.
And I hope as a community, we look at the quality of our transportation beyond just the condition of the road. Obviously, that is one of the things that we want to look at, and we want to make sure that the jurisdictions that are responsible for maintaining the roads hopefully have the resources and the revenue to do that. But transportation, really, by our definition as an organization, is beyond just the condition of the road. There's a lot of different factors that we have to look at to make sure that as a community, at, you know, 1 million plus in the region currently and potentially growing over time, that we look at long-range needs. We look at how do we accommodate mobility and make sure that the technology that is in place and the future technology that's coming in is going to help us improve that efficient movement of goods and services and people.
Sarah, would you echo what I said about there is confusion about the whole transportation arena?
Oh, I certainly would. People just think, I mean, understandably, that roads are taken care of by government, whatever entity that is. You know, we don't really think about it. I do have a question with the process as far as accessibility and mobility for all Tucsonans, including people who use wheelchairs, maybe not drive. Are there are sidewalks part of the RTA projects, or is that something that's up to the various municipalities?
So the current plan had over 500 miles of new sidewalks budgeted for, and we're on track. We are extending sidewalks to places that there were no sidewalks to begin with. We've had, actually early on in the plan, we were able to close some of the gaps between some areas that were missing sidewalks. So ADA accessibility, that's part of the RTA funding as part of making sure that anytime we build new sidewalks or make any links to missing gaps, that they are all accessible as well.
And is the upkeep on those sidewalks, is that part of the local jurisdictions, like, you know, pothole repair would be, or is that something that the RTA keeps up on?
As part of our agreements with the lead agencies and the jurisdictions that are implementing the projects, they are responsible to maintain the project after it's completed. So again, if you will, look at RTA as a plan to enhance some of the needs, meet some of the priorities, but the ongoing maintenance of those facilities are ultimately the responsibility of the agency that owns the right-of-way and maintain everything else within the right-of-way.
So we have, in 2006, when the RTA was approved, we had not had the market fallout, the big crash.
Recession, yeah.
Recession. Did that help in getting a bigger bang for the buck? Was the timing good for the RTA?
Well, it was a double-edged sword. Obviously, the recession, roughly 2007 and 2008 time frame, as you said, it did help making some of the construction bids a little bit more competitive.
But less money coming.
But then that's the other edge of the sword. Then our revenues started going down as well, because obviously people were not spending as much money and we rely on sales tax. So there's many different factors on what happened after the recession and the recovery since then. So we're in a really good recovery mode right now. We are able to continue to grow our revenue on a steady and a reasonable rate. But the projections at the time, obviously nobody anticipated the recession in 2008. So the projections that we had at the time were a little bit more optimistic. And we've definitely been able to recover from that and be able to address some of the construction increases in the cost, but again, that was the beauty of it was that early on the contractors were more competitive, the bids were lower. But now, unfortunately, what's happening? Some of those bids and the construction, even finding the labor and the skilled folks that are able to do the work, is becoming a little bit more challenging. So we're starting to see some increases in those costs.
Sarah, a final quick question.
Will we be working on, do you see the RTA, the next phase, as planning for growth, or are we still catching up for what we, where we already are?
Unfortunately, I think as a region, we have a huge, huge need to catch up. So we're going to continue to catch up, I believe. And the projection that we had was that we have a $15 billion worth of needs in the region, and that is not identified for any potential revenue sources. We're used to rely on state and federal funds, and those funds are just not there anymore. So we're still playing catch up, and I hope at some point the community as a whole is going to be in a place that we can hopefully have the best quality of transportation system that we all deserve.
All right, Farhad Moghimi, thank you very much, Farhad, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Garrett-Gasson, we're going to let you go, and I hope you feel better from your headache and being a migraine sufferer all my life. I certainly can understand. So let's hope you're going to do better. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star with us on the live line. Coming up next, going to talk with Jim Ninsel. He's the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly as we continue on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk right at about 12:32. Be back in a moment. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition, 10:30 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. With me on the live line, Jim Nintzel, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Congratulations, Jim. I just saw your post about 14 minutes ago on Facebook. The Tucson Weekly and fellow Tucson local media papers, your portfolio there, captured, was it 16 awards from the Arizona Press Club? Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'm just, I have a crew here we put together, and I couldn't be happier working with the bunch of folks we have working here. Credit goes to them for all their hard work, and I just feel very lucky to have such a good bunch of people, both old veterans and young punks working for me, and we're moving along, creating more journalism every day.
And I just logged into the Arizona Press Club, and it looks like your long-running skinny column, which has been around, I guess, since the 1990s?
It has.
Won honors as the best column in the state. Very cool.
Look at that. Who would have believed? Who would have thought?
Unbelievable.
Thanks for that one. Certainly go to Allie Miller and Leah Marquez Peterson.
For giving you plenty of
material to work with.
Plenty of material. Speaking of the skinny, Out of Bondage is the title of this week's skinny in the Tucson Weekly. Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry's proposed budget, a bit different this time around, Jim?
A little bit. You know, actually, you know, there's the usual stuff in there. You know, they're finding, working to find more money to fix roads, especially since those bonds did not pass last time. You know, more money for Keno Hospital as part of that deal with Banner. And I think, you know, that gets misunderstood a lot. Bill, you and I have both been reporters in this town for a long time, and we can remember the days in the 1990s when the county was running Keno Hospital, and it was just a disaster over there.
Yeah.
It was just a psychiatric hospital. Pills were vanishing out to the door. There was no end of trouble over there at Keno, and it was costing the county $30 to $40 million a year. And now they've leased it over to Banner University Medical Center and have created a full campus over there, and it costs about $15 million a year, and that money gets matched. It gets a 3-to-1 match for the most part from the federal government. So, you know, I think that's one of those things that Chuck Huckleberry has actually straightened out, although there are our friend Allie Miller keeps insisting it's a giant waste of money compared to what was going on before. I think it's a pretty darn good investment. But that aside, I think the really dramatic thing that Huckleberry is proposing in this is that the county move away from bonding for major capital projects. You know, for many years, county voters were supportive of bonds, but the last two proposals have been rejected by voters. And there's some bad news about that, in that there are a lot of projects that won't be completed as a result of not having that money. But there's some good news in it, in that the bonds that we currently have were short-term borrowing. And Huckleberry predicts in the next five years, we're going to be mostly debt-free in Pima County. And what Huckleberry is proposing is we take half the money we're currently paying for debt service and use that for a tax cut, and we take the other half and start kind of a savings account where we put money into a capital improvement program, and that money is used instead of borrowing money, and it will take a little longer to get some projects done because you don't have the money up front. It's kind of like buying a new car with cash, saving up ahead of time, as opposed to borrowing money and borrowing for your car and making those payments over time. You know, you don't get to drive the car right away, but you also don't have to pay interest. So there's upsides and downsides to both approaches, but I think Huckleberry can read the writing on the wall, that it's going to be a tough sell to get voters to approve bonds, at least in the near future. And so he wants to move to a whole new way of doing things. And I'm sure that will be a subject of debate. And I talked with Sharon Bronson, and she thinks, you know, this actually makes sense. But, you know, obviously details need to be worked out. I talked to Steve Christie, the Republican on the board, and he says that he's concerned. He likes the idea and concept, but he's concerned that there's going to be he doesn't want to see it turned into a slush fund where the money comes in and just gets spent willy-nilly. He wants to make sure there are safeguards in place to ensure that the money is spent well, which I think we all want when it comes to government. So.
How about it's the roads, stupid? How is
yes, that's also a big part of this, and some of that Huckleberry is proposing about $26 million in road repair this year, and it could go quite a bit higher if the county wants to enact a higher property tax to address that problem. Of course, the county does have a significant problem with roads in the incorporated areas, and it needs a lot of money to fix those roads. You know, that's a conversation going forward we're going to be having, as you were just having with the RTA, Farhad there on the RTA, that, you know, that's a conversation we're going to be having about what to do with that RTA renewal or expansion or whatever you might want to call it, how much they're going to set that sales tax at, and how that money's going to be used, because we've done a lot of expansion of roads right now, and the RTA is focused on, you know, expanding capacity as well as some money for transit and whatnot, but it's not really focused on maintenance. And if you and I both know, if you maintain a road, it costs about one-tenth of what it costs to replace a road.
Right.
So they need to get on top of that and get these roads fixed and then get on a regular maintenance schedule in order to reduce future costs. But, you know, that's one of the challenges in government all the time, to go ahead and do that preventive maintenance rather than allowing these costs to climb and climb and climb.
And the county is ending the fiscal year with a surplus of more than $73 million, which is very good news.
Yeah, they were expecting about $40 million, and Huckleberry wants to take $40 million of that $75 and once again put it into a reserve that the county can end the year with, and then he's got some plans for that other money, including that money for Keno Hospital that I mentioned earlier, and a few other proposals in terms of what to do with that money.
Jim, I had Dr. Randy Fries. He is the assistant minority leader in the Arizona House of Representatives on the program this week. And he agreed with my assessment that it appears that things are going very, very slowly at the legislature, and that we may be headed for one of those stop the clock sessions on June 30th, where they literally, like, must have been about, I think you remember that, 15, 20 years ago, they would stop the clock at the end of the fiscal year on June 30th, and they didn't have a budget. So this may be a session that's going to go well into June.
Yeah, we will see what happens with that. I expect it will slide into June. There's a lot of, you know, there's always a pool on signy die, and when the legislature is going to wrap up, this session's dragging on longer than previous sessions, and you know they've actually got most of the major bits of legislation either passed or is dead. There's a few bills floating around, and they're still kind of slow walking those to give lawmakers something to do all day. But the big holdup here, I think, is the budget. They just can't come to an agreement. We finally saw a budget from the Senate emerge this year or this week, but I think the problem is that Senate budget is a pretty miserly one. It does not have a lot of what Doug Ducey, the governor, wanted to see in the budget. His budget was a fairly generous one in terms of education and whatnot, and this one does not do that. And in fact, there are several Republican Senate lawmakers who are not on board with this budget. So I think this was kind of a starting point, an opening of negotiations, just to get something to have a conversation about, because we haven't seen anything really emerge budget-wise from the legislature yet. And, of course, that's the major bit of business they need to get done before the end of the session. So they are working that out. The Senate Democrats say that they will be releasing their own budget, and it will probably look a lot more like Governor Ducey's budget, which is kind of a funny thing for the Democrats to be saying up there. And then we haven't seen much of anything in the House of Representatives yet. So this is continuing. At one point, Senate President Fan said she really wanted to bring Democrats into the process and bring in input from everybody. That apparently is no longer the case. This is a budget that not even all Republicans are supporting. So I think there's a long ways to go. But as you and I have both seen in the past, once agreement does get reached between lawmakers and the governor, they tend to rush these things pretty quickly, which I think is another problem, honestly, because there's not a lot of opportunity to find out exactly what all these spending plans mean. But we'll see where things go from here. I do think we're going to be looking at this session drawing into June at the very least. I don't know if it'll go all the way to June 30th, but the governor can outlast the lawmakers. He can just sit back and wait for them to realize that, you know, he's there all year round. The lawmakers are supposed to be there for 100 days, and they have other jobs, and they want to get out of there. So we'll see how long their patience lasts or how long it takes to kind of break them down and realize you need to get those 16 votes in the Senate and 31 votes in the House for a budget the governor will sign, and so far we're not there yet.
We're in the signature gathering phase here at our city election, which is coming up, the primary, the end of August. What is the deadline, Jim, for gathering signatures for the mayor and the ward races?
It's the end of this month.
Okay.
So we'll see, you know, where these candidates are at that point. But at this point, it looks like we've got, you know, the primary, the mayoral primary between the three Democrats, Steve Farley, Raheena Romero, and Randy Dorman, and a pretty lively primary shaping up in Ward 1. Where Raheena Romero, of course, has given up her seat to run for mayor. So you have you have Sammy Hamed over there, as well as Lane Santa Cruz.
Yes.
and Miguel Ortega.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a pretty lively battle for the small number of Democrats who are going to turn out to vote over there in Ward 1. And we'll see who comes out, and we'll have a fresh face on the council seat over there. So I think those are the two real big primaries to watch this year, and we'll see, you know, what happens after that in the general election and the other wards.
We've had all three of those candidates from Ward 1. It's an interesting race there. Also, we had Mike Hicks on the program this week, the Republican Mike Hicks running for the Tucson City Council in the ward where Shirley Scott is giving up her seat. She's retiring. Is it expected then on the Democratic side, Nikki Lee, is that right?
Yeah, Nikki Lee ran for the Arizona legislature last year. She's an Air Force veteran, and really she was in a very crowded primary over there. She's been involved in also there was a voucher referendum on the ballot. She was real involved in fighting against vouchers, and I think it's not a good year to be a Republican in the city of Tucson with the current presidential administration. I think at this point Democrats would crawl across broken glass to vote, and you have a 2-to-1 advantage here in Tucson. So I think Michael Hicks has definitely got a tall hill to climb to come out on top in that, and we just saw him lose a seat on the Tucson Unified School District. So, we'll see how it goes, but I would put my money on Nikki Lee were I betting then.
So in the mayoral race, we'll have a better idea about how many signatures were turned in and whether or not we can, what that means, correct?
Yeah, and I think all three of those Democrats know what they're doing in terms
right.
of gathering signatures in the mayor's race, so I'm pretty sure we're going to see all three of them make the ballot, barring any kind of really huge screw-up on their part. But I don't think you'll see any of them fail to get there. And there's a few other kind of fringe characters out there running in the Democratic and Republican primaries, but we'll see where that goes. We haven't really seen, and we probably will not see, a really strong Republican candidate for mayor. But we do have the independent candidate in Ed Ackerley, which, you know, he's making his first run for office. We'll see what happens with that. So,
all right.
It's going to be a fun campaign season. I'm looking forward to seeing it all unfold.
Thanks, Jim. All the best to you, Jim Nintzel, and congratulations to you and you and the team at Tucson Local Media, garnering 16 awards from the Arizona Press Club for your publications. Thanks and congratulations. Have a great weekend, Jim.
Hey, thank you so much.
My favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. It's so exciting now. They're serving a hot breakfast. Mona's, located the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, owner and chief baker Steve and his team. He's got two now full-time cooks on staff that are doing the breakfast. They're doing the breakfast all day, that hot breakfast. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. So stop by, whether it's for lunch or for breakfast, or just to pick up some great pastries. I love those chocolate brownies and the chocolate chip cookies. Oh, they're delicious. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. You can find them on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link at buckmastershow.com. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Stir it up, baby. And speaking of Matt Russell, Matt Russell's the longtime host of Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show, which is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Friday means a weekend getaway, just a 3-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Southwest corner of the land of enchantment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and the great recreation opportunities in historic Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, all around nice guy. So delighted to have him as part of the Buckmaster Show. I like the man so much that I am actually honoring him. While I'm away, I think we've got about 11 or 12 Buckmaster shows that will need guest hosts. Well, guess what? One of the hosts is Matt Russell for a full hour on the Buckmaster Show.
I will be stirring it up, baby. I can guarantee you that. You know what? Occupying the very coveted Bill Buckmaster seat in the intergalactic headquarters of Bustos Media is going to be one of the all-time honors of my life. Steering the ship while you're away on May the 15th, it is going to be one delicious hour, I assure you, sir.
I can't wait. I'll be listening with the live stream down in the Caribbean. So there you go.
Sipping a little rum.
There you go.
Your show.
We have a picture perfect weekend. It's Cinco de Mayo weekend. It's, of course, the Kentucky Derby. It's the Buckmaster wedding anniversary weekend. A lot going on, including a fun event in Sahorita.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, they're going to be partnering with the town of Sahorita tonight for a celebration of Mexican culture and spirits and, of course, food. It's called Sabrosita Sahorita. And I have to remind myself that Sahorita is four syllables. And for $25 a ticket, you're going to get access to this delicious fiesta as well as samples from nearly 20 local restaurants. There's going to be music and dancing, sipping of agave spirits, and more, even a classic car show. This is all about local heritage food and culture. Tonight, starting at 6 o'clock at the Quail Creek Veterans Park down in Sahorita, I think it's a great kickoff to the weekend.
How about a mint julep to go along with the derby?
Oh, man, I am so excited. The most exciting 2 minutes in sports is on Saturday afternoon, where the horses are going to line up to run the track at Churchill Downs, and you can't watch the Kentucky Derby, Bill, without some down-home Southern food. And, of course, as you said, mint juleps. So get those bow ties and big hats out of the closet and trot over to the Rito Racetrack on Saturday. They're going to have a big Derby Day watch party. Starts at 11 o'clock with a Southern-style buffet and plenty of bourbon-based mint juleps to wash it all down. One of my favorite Southern libations. We'll have much better weather here than in Louisville, I assure you. So make it a day of it and make sure to pick a winner.
So much going on when it's Cinco de Mayo weekend.
May 5th is a big day in this town, Bill. And, of course, I'm talking about your wedding anniversary.
I know. Do you believe it?
I'm so excited for you and your bride.
Yes.
You know, but there's also something special about that day that sets this town ablaze every year. Cinco de Mayo, I could fill an entire hour if I mentioned all the activities happening across town. But I like the commemorative menu at Boca down on 4th Avenue. They have 10 of their top-selling tacos featured at less than $4 a piece. And up in the foothills at Finney's Landing, they have a special Cinco de Mayo menu anchored by a Chipotle lobster roll.
Wow.
With their famous Chubasco aioli. No matter how you choose to Cinco, just have fun, be safe, and do what I do. Raise a glass to my two favorite lovebirds, Mr. and Mrs. Bill Buckmaster.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Matt. Have a great weekend. Happy Derby, Cinco de Mayo, and everything else. Have a good one.
Cheers, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Always a pleasure having Matt Russell on The Buckmaster Show, our longtime host of Weekend Watch. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. The original theme music is composed by Christophan, my young friend from Munich, Germany. He's got such a great talent. There's a link to him at buckmastershow.com. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, everyone here at KVOI and Bustos Media, including engineer and producer Bob Dio. The entire team here really does such a great job, including Ray Allen, our operations manager, Alicia and Elsa in the front office, of course, Jerry Cross, production manager. All of us wishing you a safe and pleasant Cinco de Mayo weekend. Have a good one.